Praise God. I love Christmas. I don't know about you, but I just love getting these songs out. It's too bad we can't sing them in July or August or somewhere. I mean, we can,
yeah.
But then they'd really call us corny Christians, right? And hallelujah. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you, worship team. Yeah, Christmas in July, as long as there's no snow. That's fine with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to say the music up here is getting really, really good.
No.
And I was noticing this morning, like, we've got new people up here. Bob's up here. Amen. And we didn't have him at the first of 2017. And Patricia up here with us singing. Thank you so much. And Eric over here on the bass guitar. And really is complimenting it. And I know that our worship team was really praying for more people to be added. And so that's an answer to prayer. And so we're very grateful to God for you for all putting out your gifts and talents for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could have some blessing in church. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love music. Music is part of my life. I don't think there's hardly any time in the car where there's not music on, where we don't have something going and we listen to music. I believe like David, you know, where you play music. And remember when David would play the harp with King Saul, and it says, evil spirits departed. And I really believe that when you get good gospel music flowing and that's lifting up the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing his name forefront into our lives, that I believe that all those things begin to depart from us, that perhaps we were worried about or you know, just kind of always contemplating and being over those things. And so I believe that when you play music, it's good. So that's why I love Christmas music. Just makes me think of Jesus and the season of the time of year when I got saved. Amen. And perhaps you were saved at Christmas as well. I don't know. Monique, I would like to pray for you. Could you come forward, please? And I'm calling for the board members as well. They could just come forward, and Betty, if you join me, I want to pray for you, Monique. And we're just agreeing for a miracle. Amen. So we're praying. Would you extend your hands towards Monique? We're just believing for a real miracle. God, we thank you this morning for the miracle of Jesus coming into this world. God, you are no surprise to us, but yet you give us miracles. And we thank you, Lord God, that daily we live for you, Lord, and we trust in you every step of the way. God, we have got complete confidence in you of everything you do in our lives. And so when things come against us, whether it's a sickness or anything that comes against us or our families, Lord, we know where we can go. So God, on the behalf of Monique right now, we're coming to you, Jesus. We are obedient to the scriptures. That if there's anyone sick amongst us, that we would call for the elders of the church, that we would anoint with oil. We would pray the prayer of faith, of faith. We believe, Lord God, we believe. So we're asking right now that you would do a miracle in Monique's life and that you would touch her, Lord Jesus. You would minister to her, Lord God, and you would remove what is bothering her body right now, Lord God. So I praise you, Lord God, as we have prayed that prayer of faith, Lord. We trust in you right now, Lord, and have complete confidence in you, the bedrock of our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world for this very purpose. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you, Monique. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Bless you, Lord. I see the kids have already gone out to Sunday school. Stephanie told me that as they were going out to Sunday school this morning, that they had a lot planned. So she said, if you could take longer this morning, that would be very good. So I said, no problem. The people won't mind a bit. And you said? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. She's got lots of stuff planned for the kids. They're just having a great time before Christmas. It is so good to be alive in Jesus. Amen. I trust that you are very grateful for every day that you live in Him and are blessed in Him. Hallelujah. I was looking up one of those words this week. Isn't it interesting how words come our way and words give us interesting meanings? You know, I don't know whether it's kind of old age, but you want to expand your vocabulary and get some new words in there because, you know, our vocabulary sometimes is very boring and just not filled with all those spices of different words that we never hear. I can remember a few years ago, and this is a British word, but somebody once told me, and maybe Hugh and Margaret would know this word of anybody here because of their background from Scotland, but perambulator. A carriage, yes. When I first heard that, I said, oh, a perambulator, is that like a coffee maker? You know, and it's kind of like when you hear these different words, but I think that they shortened it up to pram. Yes. You know, to walk the kids in the pram, but it's a perambulator. And that's what they would, you know, take the children out in that stroller. Did you know that this morning? No? No, you got a new word. How about this one? Fructify. Fructify, F-R-U-C-T-I-F-Y, fructify. It means to be fruitful, to bear fruit. There we go. You've got something. The church should be people who will fructify, right? Hallelujah. I love giving you these words because you'll go home and you'll have these words for you and be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Would you open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Are you dreaming of a right Christmas? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2. Now, I didn't put the words up on the screen today because I'm reading 14 verses and it just wouldn't fit. If I had the font so small that you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. So you have to turn to your Bibles today. You have to work. Amen. You have to go to the Bibles or your technology, whatever you have. You can pick up one of those pew Bibles. I don't know if they're New King James or King James Version or NIV. I don't know. But you'll get the drift as we go along if you're following in another version anyway. So I'm going to begin at verse 1. And this is a great place to start. Verse 1 says of chapter 2 of Luke, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in their fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, even to us in 2017. Amen? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host.'" Can you imagine that worship team? "The heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, that's what our world needs right now, is peace and goodwill towards all men. Lord, we're looking at a world that is shaken and oblivious to the knowledge of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, we pray for an awakening all around our world. We've got missionaries planted all around the world. There are churches planted in practically every place, every corner of this world. The gospel is being spoken in so many languages. And I pray right now this morning, Lord Jesus, we know your coming is so soon, Lord, the second advent. But God, while we are here, we pray that this gospel message would change not only the world, but our city of Cornwall and all the surrounding areas. Lord, help us as a church reach into the darkness and bring light at this time of the year. Thank you, God. It's Christmas. And what a message we have that Jesus was born to save us from our sins. So God, as we contemplate you and your word this morning and all that you are to us, we bless you and praise you and thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 I want to say something to you this morning that will probably knock you right off those pews. It's something very profound and deep, but you were all born. Okay? Just to let you know that, you were born. You were not hatched. You did not come from an egg or anything else. We learned in school there's a process called osmosis, where something is transferred into, like water into a potato. I remember back in those days in class of science and all that. Well, you are not here by the process of osmosis, okay? And with all these movies of Star Wars and everything else, I want to let you know that you didn't arrive here by Scotty beaming you up from the Starship Enterprise, okay? You are not here in any one of those sensational and fantastic ways, or the things that you and I could think of all the nature of this world. But you and I are here because you and I were born into this world. Born. Physically birthed into this world. We had a mother and a father. They came together. And because of their love for each other, you and I are born, birthed into this world. But spiritually, we can be born again. Born again. And that's according to John chapter 3, verse 3. And those are Jesus' words, not my words. You must be born again. Many think they are going to arrive one day into heaven because of all the good stuff they've done, because of all the good works they've done. And that's not putting down good works. If anybody should be doing good works, it should be the child of God. But a lot of people think that, except from God, if I do good works, I will make it. I will be in heaven one day because of all the things that I've done, all the money I've given, all the good deeds I've done and everything else. And they think that they will arrive in heaven one day because of all those good deeds they've done. They think that they're going to arrive in heaven because of all the achievements they've done and all the things that they've achieved in this world. Or just being a solid citizen of planet Earth and just saying, I didn't cheat anybody, I didn't steal, didn't lie, didn't do all those things. I did all the things that were right. And so they have this idea that they are one day going to arrive in heaven. But I want to let you know that there is a requirement for arriving in heaven. There is a truth that you are going to make into this heaven, and that is the only way you're going to make it into heaven. You must be born again, said Jesus. You must be born again. There's no way to enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And a lot of people say, well, what about all the other religions? What about all the other thoughts on philosophy and sociology and the ways and other gods and other religions and other cults? And what about Muhammad? What about Hare Krishna? What about Vishnu and all these things around us? Well, I want to let you know that Jesus has made it very plain for you and I in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way into heaven. The life. There's no way to get to heaven, to the Father's heart, but by me, said Jesus. So, funneled into all those things of all the world religions and all the things that we have around us, there's only one way. I can speak to the Muslim and say Jesus is the only way. I can speak to the Hindu and say Jesus is the only way you're going to arrive in heaven one day. I can talk to anybody in any cult and any religion, and I can bring them to that very place, that very pinpointed place, that this is why Jesus came into the world, born for you and I, to save us from our sins. Not to bring us into another religion or another place or another facet of what this world offers, is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that He is the only way to the Father's house. So this Christmas, as every Christmas, we want to center in on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The birth, being born into this world, Jesus Christ. Isn't it great? He is the reason for the season. Jesus, the birth, His birth, what we celebrate. You know, Matthew and Luke are the two prime gospel writers that you will find the background on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They contribute very much to the actual history of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They actually trace the actual lineage of both Mary and Joseph as to this moment in time when Jesus was born. If you were to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, you would find the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew starts back at Abraham and works the way up to Jesus. If you were to go to Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, all the way back to Abraham." So Matthew starts at Abraham, works towards Jesus. Luke starts at Jesus and works the way back to Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? You've got a duplicate thing, but it doesn't matter which way you look at it. We've got the Son of God, and we've got all the purpose of why he brought Jesus into this world. Mark and John, if you were to go to their Gospels, they bring us more in of John introducing the Lord Jesus Christ when he's an adult at the Jordan River, basically, and he is already a grown Savior with nothing really speaking towards the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to get information about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Matthew and Luke, and they will tell you a lot of information about this. But yet, in all four Gospels, we see the power of God at work. We see the miracles of Jesus being here in this world. We see the teaching of Jesus in this world. We see the evidences of Jesus being in this world, the Son of God doing all these things. And we get all these nuggets of information. We plug them all together in all four Gospels. And we have enough information for you and I to carry this life with everything, every bit of substance and sustenance that you and I will need to carry on this life to know that God is alive in us. Amen? But I like the Gospel of Luke with such a powerful narrative of a piece of information that ties us into the predicament that was involving this birth of the Christ child, which really, as you look at this very moment that we're reading of Luke chapter 2, it fulfills prophecies of the things that could take place. And so as you read those verses of Scripture from verse 1 to 14, if you were to look at verse 11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So you were born, weren't you? Weren't hatched? No osmosis? No beam me up, Scotty, or anything like that? And Jesus, Son of God, came the same way that you and I came into this world, but no earthly father, but that Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that which was found in her womb was of the Holy Spirit, Son of God. Born, I looked it up in the Greek, and this is interesting. It's T-I-K-T-O, tikto. How's that? Tikto, which means to bring forth, to bear children, to generate, to bear, be born, to produce, be delivered, be in travail. And I think for a couple, especially the mother, the agony of pain she must go through in bearing children is very difficult, to say the least. And all the mothers said, can you remember the pain? But yet afterwards, there's the blessing of birthing that child into the world. And I can remember I was talking to Betty this week because I was remembering a couple that we knew back in Ottawa many years ago. And I've never borne children, so I don't know the pain of what the ladies go through. and all the men said. Yes, we'll leave it with them. Anyway, we had some friends who just lived around the corner from us and knew them quite well. And they were having difficulty, I think, having children. And they came to us, and they were overjoyed that they were going to have a child. We said, praise God. God works miracles. And anyway, she had a very difficult labor. And I don't know how many hours she spent in labor. I don't know if any of the ladies here spend hours in labor, but she spent a lot of hours in labor. And it was so difficult, her birth, that she decided right at the moment after that child was born that she would have her tubes tied. And so that's enough pain for me. You know, and she decided that she wasn't going to go through this anymore. And she just did that. And after several months, if not a couple of years, she looked at their single child and said, wouldn't it be nice to have a brother or sister for this child? But it was already too late in that sense. I don't know if there's a reversal on tying the tubes. I'm not a doctor and like that. I could have asked Dr. DeHimbo today, but he's not here. But I don't know if it can be reversed in that process. But after that happened, they were sad because of what they had done, just because of all that pain that was in the childbearing. And so there must be a lot of pain in birthing for a lady to do that. And it's like Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So in other words, yeah, there's a lot of pain, but once you get that baby in your arms and see the little fingers and the toes and all that, the joy that consumes you over all that pain. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. So Jesus was relating to that pain. And really, as you found that scripture in John chapter 16, he was talking to his disciples because they were worried about what Jesus was talking about, going to the cross and all this. And so he was saying, you know, you're going to have sorrow, but yet there's joy down the road as you follow me, as you live for me. And we all know that we go through all kinds of pain in this life, but there's joy in Jesus. Jesus came that our joy would be full, that we'd be overflowing in joy for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus, born into this world, miracle of birth of anyone, for any one of us, but for Jesus, and that overshadowing of Mary with Holy Spirit and conceiving a baby from heaven named Jesus, he was born to save us from our sins. That's fantastic, isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? Praise God. Hallelujah. You haven't started eating turkey yet, have you? See, when many years later, Jesus would stand before this guy by the name of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate didn't really want to be put in his situation where he was interviewing Jesus, but yet he was thrust into his presence, and he was there because the Sadducees and the Pharisees had brought him to him, and they claimed that he was going against Caesar. And so Pilate looked at Jesus and said to him, are you a king then? He asked him straight forth, are you a king? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. Then Jesus said this, for this cause I was born. Interesting. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. In other words, Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were absence of truth in those days. Even though they may have had a synagogue basically on every corner, there was blind people leading the blind. There were people not talking about Jesus. As a matter of fact, even the religious people of those days could not recognize Jesus. So Jesus said, I came that I would bear witness to the truth. You know, reading in my chronological reading, I liked it a few weeks ago when I was at the start of the gospel, I'm reading about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now I'm down to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's kind of like, you know, it's out of place when you're thinking of Christmas, but yet it all adds up when you're reading the Bible. But I was reading in my reading chronologically this week, and I read a passage that was really disturbing to me. Do you ever get a scripture that disturbs you a little bit? And it kind of makes you focus and rethink and stir things around. And anyway, I had this this passage of Scripture that disturbed me with the aspect of what I was preaching on today, with the aspect of a newborn baby, King Jesus, coming into this world. And if you recall, Jesus is getting ready for the final hours before he goes to the cross. And as this man, Jesus, is in the flesh, Jesus and his disciples are sitting at the Passover supper table. And they're all around this table. And as they sit around the table, Jesus says these words, "One of you will betray me. One of you will betray me." But this scripture I read really disturbed me as I went on from that, and somewhat, because it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good that that man, if he had not been born." And I was preaching today on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read that verse of Scripture, it was disturbing to me. It would have been good if he had not been born. And then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." You'll find that in the other Gospels as well. And as I read those verses, I was reminded of the judgment of God that would be so harsh to this betrayed that it would be better for Judas that he had not even been born into this world. That's what the judgment of God is like. Ever think about the judgment of God? You know, as I thought about this, and when you think of the severity of what Judas did to Jesus and selling out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and what do we do in this world for just a little bit of money and just kind of put aside the gospel for a moment, or put aside our faith in Jesus and put aside our walk with the Lord to just do something that would be better for our life. And we are so money driven, we're so gratification of our own lives driven that sometimes we will put aside, "I know I should be doing this, but..." And we get into those places in life where we compromise our life. And I thought about that, 30 pieces of silver, and I for sure would not have wanted to be in the shoes or sandals of Judas in those days, selling out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And I also found a similarity in thinking about the judgment of what could happen in another portion of Scripture. I was also reminded when I read this about Judas, I went back to Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus said this, "I assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children," in other words, like the born-again experience, "you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." You see the relationship that Jesus is tying in here? Then there's that but. Right, Pierre? But. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Wow, the judgment of God. The judgment of God makes us understand the significance of the work of what Christ is doing right here, right now. And I'm always very, "God, I'm going to be standing at this pulpit this morning. Let me not get in your way. Let me not confuse anybody. Let me not hinder. Let me not do anything, but let me promote and encourage and build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I do all these things to help the gospel be formed in us. If there's anybody here that doesn't need Jesus Christ, I pray that what I say this morning, you will find Jesus. I pray if there's somebody doubting this morning, I pray that what I say will take away all that confusion and doubt and bring you to the very place of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you will be sure, you will have that blessed assurance about what Jesus Christ means to you. I pray this morning that everything that is said and done right here will not only promote you to a better, healthy, vigorous Christian life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that you will be so hungry and thirsty that you want more and more and more and more. Amen? We need to ensure we're about our Father's business. As I read scriptures about like that, I don't want a millstone hung around my neck. I want to be about the Father's business. I want to make sure we're doing good things for Jesus. I love the drama presentation and reaching out to the lost around us. I love doing things to promote the gospel and get the gospel out to this lost world and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. I praise God for the abilities that you and I have in this church to reach out and to cause people to start thinking about Jesus. At least think about Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. So we need to assure we're about our Father's business, not trying to shut them down in any way or thwarting the work of God. You know, history is full of fascinating things. We are here today, obviously. We've been born into this world because history had us here at this moment. There's not a chance of you being here. This is history. History in the making. Every one of us are born into this world specifically at the orders of God the Father. You didn't happen by chance. You are here because God ordained it. He knew us in our mother's womb. He fashioned us and formed us and brought us from our mother's womb. And he brought us here in God's plan and his purposes. You and I were born. His coordination allowed you and I to be born into this world. Amen? But can you imagine it if you were never born? Yeah, I was thinking about this because, you know, thank God that we're born. You know, you were sharing last night, Gail, about, you know, suicide pacts with teenagers. They want to end their life. They see no reason to live. You know, kids, I don't know, the power of the enemy. Power of the enemy is strong. He's running after our kids, after teenagers, saying, what's the sense of living? I mean, you've got everything to live for. You've got eternity to live for in Jesus. Praise God. We've got to get to these kids before it's too late. We've got to get to people before it's too late. We've got to reach into their hearts and their lives because God's got a purpose for us. And I often think, you know, what would it be like if we were never born? You wouldn't have had those chances. You know, if I was not born, my brother Les might not be saved right now. You know, if I didn't come to the purpose and plans of God in my life, my brother Les would not be saved. If I wasn't here, I would be married to this wonderful lady that I have this glorious life that you and I are going through, Betty. We're having a roller coaster ride at the time of our life. Amen? I started thinking of all, I mean, to be married and part of a family and in the workplace and all the things that you do and the people that you rub shoulders with and the people you know and think back over your life and situations you've been in. Maybe you've lived in different cities and maybe you've been different places, different jobs and all kinds of things and you've affected all kinds of people. Maybe somebody got saved because of you. But can you imagine if you weren't there? If you were not there. Interesting. Hopefully we have all made some impact on the places where we've been and the things that we've done and the contributions to this world that we live in to make it better for those around us, to make them feel that Jesus Christ should be there in their life. And people need to come in contact not only with us but them. And hopefully if we never existed, they would not be as well off as they are now because we existed and we came into their lives. So what if no you? Good sermon for today, isn't it? What if no you? Because really each and every one of us is vitally important to God. I don't care what anybody says. Those teenagers, they are important to God. God loves them with an everlasting love. Every one of us are important to our Heavenly Father. In fact, God knows everything about us, right down to the very hairs upon our head, whether as we grow older and we lose some, he still knows how many we got. Amen? And as we age, we go through all the process, but God knows everything about us. I love the Christmas movies that come out. There's classics around and some beautiful, beautiful movies. And what's your favorite Christmas movie? What's that? Deck the Halls? Miracle on 34th Street? It's a wonderful life. Yeah. Crazy bunch. Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Home Alone 3. All those movies. White Christmas. Did anybody say that yet? All those good movies that you and I have. Well, this movie shows every year, the one I'm thinking about right now, and you have said it, and it shows every year on just about every TV network. Perhaps you've got a copy of it on DVD. Maybe you've got a VHS. Maybe you've even got a beta copy. Anybody know what beta is? Probably the younger ones don't know what. Beta. Yeah. Remember those? Almost like an 8-track. But the beta. But this movie. Yeah, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. I was thinking about this so much. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. And I just kind of did a little bit of background check to go back, because sometimes you forget the names of some of the stars. Did you know who the guy up the top is? That's Jimmy Stewart. Donna Reed. I don't know who the little girl is. I don't know if she's still alive or not, but I started going through, and it's a 1946 American Christmas fantasy comedy drama film produced by Frank Capra. And it was based on the short story, The Greatest Gift, which Philip Van Doren Stern wrote in 1939 and published privately in 1945. Did you know that It's a Wonderful Life was considered one of the most critically acclaimed films ever made and one of the most loved films in American cinema and has become traditionally viewing every Christmas season? It was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, and has been recognized by the American Film Institute as one of the 100 best American films ever made, placing number 11 on the initial 1998 Greatest Movie list, and it would place number 1 on its list of the most inspirational American films of all time. Despite initial performing poorly at the box office when it first came out because of high production costs and stiff competition at the time of its release, the film has come to be regarded as a classic and is a staple of Christmas TV all around the world. The film stars Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, a man who has given up on his dreams in order to help others and whose imminent suicide on Christmas Eve brings about the intervention of his guardian angel, Clarence. Anybody not seen this movie? So I'm talking to people who've seen it. Clarence shows George all the lives he has touched, how different life in his community of Bedford Falls would be had he never been born. So on Christmas Eve in 1945 in Bedford Falls, George Bailey is suicidal. Goes out to a bridge. He wants to throw himself off a bridge, but old Clarence pops in and in order to earn his angel's wings. And so Clarence is shown flashbacks of George's life. And George desperately appeals just prior to all this. He had lost the money for their down payment, their money that they needed for that time. The uncle lost. I can't remember the uncle's name. Anybody remember? But anyway, George desperately runs to Mr. Potter. Remember Mr. Potter? And asks for him to give him a loan, give him the money to extend it. But all George has is his life insurance policy in his hand. If you've seen the movie, there he is shaking on the desk and he's got his life insurance policy in his hand. And Mr. Potter smiles and says, George is worth more dead than alive, and phones the police to have him arrested. And he runs out of the place and down to the bridge where he wants to commit suicide. When George says he wishes he'd never been born, that place, Clarence decides to grant his wish because Clarence looked up at heaven. So, I like that. He says to God, I guess he's talking. And so they go back, and George sees all his life. It's no longer Bedford Falls, it's Pottersville, because Mr. Potter has now controlled the town. And as I look at that and go through it all, And then you come down to the very place of George Bailey looking at Bedford Falls as if he was never been born, what a place it would become. And it made me think, you know, what would it be like in our family if we weren't here? What would it be like around us if we weren't here, living on our street, and people that we affect and people that we talk to? And here's one of our neighbors over here. It's good to have you here today, Kuma. And I pray that we affected you, Betty and I, living on our street, that we reached across to you with the love of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to see you here this morning and to be able to affect people with the glorious gospel of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, George was convinced that Clarence is really his guardian angel. He runs back after Clarence gets him to the place of realizing that he's worth more living than he is dead. So George runs home, waiting his arrest, and Mary and Uncle Billy, that's the name, Uncle Billy arrive, having rallied the townspeople who donate more than enough to cover the missing $8,000 for Potter's warrant to be torn up. And then all of a sudden, on the Christmas tree, a bell rings. And the little girl says, "Daddy, an angel just got their wings." And of course, you assimilate that it's Clarence just got his wings. So it's kind of a great movie to think about, you know, if you were never born, if you weren't here, ever think about that. If we could go to a classic and look at this, you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, which tells of Christmas, the first Advent. What if Jesus had never been born? You know, I know that we have our sphere of family and friends that we affect, but can you imagine what would happen if Jesus were never born? It's the first showing in Luke chapter 2 of the Son of God to planet Earth, even though there are many glimpses and theophanies in the Old Testament. Everybody knows what a theophany is, right? Theophany is a kind of a glimpse of the Son of God prior to him coming in flesh. Kind of like if you were to go back to the book of Daniel and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were in the thrust into the fiery furnace, and old King Nebuchadnezzar looked down there and said, "Did we not throw three in there? I see the fourth, like the Son of God, walking in the midst of the fire." And so we have all these theophanies, but really it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that when he really came into the world, took on flesh and changed our world. The birthing into this world of the Son of God, Mary pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This is the peak. This is the classic. Luke chapter 2. Even though we can see Hollywood puts out classic Christmas movies and all that, Luke chapter 2 is the classic of all classics. This is the place of everything, where it all happens, where it all hinges, where it all holds together. Luke 2 is a classic. It's not a DVD. It's not a video, but it's engraved in history for you and I as believers. It's a classic. Luke chapter 2. It's truth. You just can't get anything greater than Luke chapter 2 than God so loving this world that he sends his Son into this world that with you and I, all because of God's great love. It's a classic. I mean, it tops all the Academy Awards and all the dignitaries and all the things out there of this world, all the awards and all the gratification and everything else. This is classic. Luke chapter 2, Jesus coming into this world. It's so far above man's accomplishments that you can't even get close to it, what God did. It's so humongous and giant, and it continues to allow us even today in 2017, 2,000 years later, to still be involved in the classic of Luke chapter 2. We're singing songs about the classic this morning. We're singing songs about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christmas. Let the bells ring. Let everybody sing. Let everybody shout. It's Christmas. It's a classic because of what Jesus did. So I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. We're living in a place right now that seems old man Potter is laughing at us, though, isn't it? Mocking us. We're living in a world right now that is treacherous and perilous and all the things around us. But it's a wonderful life living for Jesus. It's a wonderful life living for Jesus in this world. Even though we have all kinds of problems, Jesus said you will have tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. I've overcome it. That's why he came, to overcome the world. We are constantly bogged down with news. You know, we've got our friendly guy that we love so very much up on the hill, right? I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, what's he doing now against the church? You know, the LifeSiteNews.com, I was sharing with this Pierre the other night, but there's one issue they put there, and all the things since 2016 of our prime minister has done against the church, against Christians, and they list them. It goes on for about a page and a half on your computer. If you go on to LifeSite News, you will see everything that our prime minister has done against the Christian and the church. Do you want to know what the latest thing is, though? And this one hasn't come to be yet. It's going to happen this week on December 19th. What is our prime minister up to right now? Well, you want to know, this is breaking news, because on December 14th, the Trudeau government, Canada, won't fund student summer jobs for employers who will not support abortion and transgenderism. Here's the attestation. To be eligible, applicants will have to attest that both the job and the organization's core mandate respect individual human rights in Canada, including the values underlying the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, as well as other rights. These include reproductive rights and the right to be free from discrimination on the basis of sex, religion, race, national or ethnic origin, color, mental or physical disability, sexual orientation or gender, identity or expression. So, if I was to hire somebody to come in and work over the summer months, of which I have talked to Andrea, because she's going to be going to Bible college, and it'd be nice to have her around here in the summer months, that I have to comply with these wishes of our government, that I have to say I am in favor of all that you just said, to hire a summer student. Jack Fonseca, the senior political strategist for the Campaign Life Coalition, which we are grateful for, somebody standing up and being a voice to our government, he denounced this move by the Trudeau Liberals for their blatant anti-Christian bias. We as Christians are at war. Mr. Potter is around us. The devil is shouting all around us. He's doing all kinds of things, not only at Christmas, but for 12 months of every year. And it's amazing that this rule is coming in on December 19th to stand for this word of God and what it represents to society at large. You and I must do this. So what if Jesus had never been born? What if there's no Christmas? But that's why we're here. That's why we have Christmas. That's why the church is what Jesus said he will build right here on earth. And he said this is going to be his hands. We are going to be his feet. We're going to be his voice. We're going to be everything to every lost person that you and I meet in this whole wide world. This is the Christmas story as reported to us by Dr. Luke, a story that is under attack today. Luke chapter 2 is under attack today. People do not want to believe in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not want to celebrate Christmas. They do not want to wish Merry Christmas. They do not want any part of Christmas. They don't want to know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and why he ever came into this world. A battle rages with all around our world right now with every situation. And right now in the U.S. Supreme Court, there is a man who had a cake shop down in the United States, and he did not want to put two males on top of the marriage cake. He did not want to do that. And now it is going before the Supreme Court in the United States because of his stand against those very things. Everything is around us going against Christianity, against God, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, I started looking up some of the things that are happening around us. And there was a school in the Midwest, and this is in the United States. They were sued because they put up a Christmas decorations and failed to include the Muslim holiday of Ramadan. They had to put up special decorations for Ramadan in that school as well. At an airport in Seattle, there was a Christmas tree displayed there, and they were sued by a man who won the right to display a menorah for the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. Think about it. When you and I come to Christmas, this season is under attack all around our world. I wanted to take a look at what life would be like without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could think about it for a moment, but just think about if Christmas never happened, if Jesus never came to this world, there would be no winter family gathering together. Amen? No snow. Oh, just kidding. Nothing to look forward to as the days get shorter and the thermometers start dipping. No Christmas gifts. No holiday traditions, no Betty's baked peanut butter balls. I was going to say it. Oh, man. No Christmas trees. No lights. All the Christmas specials going out, they're not going to be there. No Charlie Brown Christmas. Wow. That must have been a classic for you. No Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. And children would have to go to school the entire month of December. Yeah, that's not bad. Without Christmas, there would be no Boxing Day. No Boxing Day sales. Can you imagine all? Without Christmas, December 25th, it would be just like a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, creepy, bad day of the whole rest of the year. Amen? They say that people get the January blahs, right? Oh, they're going to have them in December too because there's no Christmas. December blahs. But spiritually, if there had never been a Christmas, the world would be far different than it is today in ways that we could never, ever imagine because of the presence of the Holy Spirit promoting Jesus Christ, the church here. For instance, when Jesus came, he taught his followers to love God, to love their neighbors. He said to even love your enemies. Even though people persecute you, love them, love them, love them. Love them. It was the early Christian community, that, not government, the early Christian community that stressed the support for widows and orphans, not the government. They looked after the sick. They looked after the disabled. The church organized efforts to help those who were dying. The church was doing all this. They built, they staffed, and they paid for hospitals, places where people go. Just about every charitable organization has been founded and funded by Christians, including the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the World Relief, World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, Food for the Hungry, Compassion Canada, Compassion International, and on it goes, because a lot of these organizations are funded by Christians. Without the birth of Jesus Christ, education would be so far different. As a matter of fact, a lot of our universities and colleges have been founded on Christian principles and founded upon the Word of God. McMaster, Ryerson, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, all these places were founded on Christian principles. But if you were to go into them today, you would not find the Word of God nor Christian principles there in these universities. They have gone completely secular. And North American governments were founded on Christian principles. If you were to go up to the Parliament Hill, you would find the Bible there. You would find out some of the history of Canada. Our government started with the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed. They had scriptures read in Parliament. You could almost say that Canada started out as a Christian country, Judeo-Christian principles. But now, wow. And if there had never been a Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, much of the good in our world would be missing. Much of the good we've ever experienced would be missing because no Jesus, no Christmas. And everyone seems to have a Christmas memory. I don't know about you, but I have got some of my fondest memories from Christmases from days gone by. Some of the Christmas memories are so cherished and blessed for me of experiencing those times. Even though we drove sometimes in snowstorms to get home, to be with family and to be places, when we got there, what a relief it was to be a family, to hug my mom and dad, to hug Betty's mom and dad, to see them, to be with them at Christmas time and look at their faces when they opened a gift and had that wonderful blessing of family getting together because of Christmas. Christmas memories are beautiful. Everyone has those Christmas memories. And if there hadn't been a living Christmas tree at the People's Church back in 1973 where people formulated on a platform and went all the way up to the Christmas tree and sang all those Christmas carols, I would not be here today because they sang and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Were you saved at Christmas time? I was. It's a beautiful time. I've got a memory of when I got saved at Christmas time. So which Christmas memory stands out in your mind this morning when you start thinking about those memories? I can always remember when I poked my aunt in the eye early in the morning. You know, I arranged with my sister, whoever gets up first on early on Christmas morning, we'll go out and see what we got in our gifts. And so we arranged that we would do this. And my aunt, who had lost her husband, she came and stayed with us every Christmas. And my two brothers, we all slept in one room. My sister had a big double bed all by herself. We could never figure that out. We were all tucked in all these little twin beds or couches or whatever in our bedroom, the guys. But my sister had a double bed. And so anyway, when my aunt came, she was lying in the bed, and I told my sister, make sure you're on the outside to the door, so when I come in to wake you up, that you'll be there, not our Aunt Lulu. Anyway, they didn't do that. So I go tippy-toeing in the dark, and I reach over, Linda, wake up. Russell, get your finger out of my eye. Oh, I can remember. Those are wonderful memories, crazy as they are, but they're my memories. You've got them too. And it's all because it's a Christmas. It's all because Jesus came into this world. We've got these precious, precious memories of living inside of us. It's all because of Jesus coming into this world. Without Christmas, something far worse would have happened. Christ not coming. I can't even imagine life on earth without the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine without those songs that we sing and the Christmas that you and I celebrate without the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. Jesus came as one of us. Think about it for a moment. John, even though he didn't talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but John started his gospel out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's Christmas. Jesus coming into the world. Here was the Creator there from the beginning of time, the one that everything was made for and nothing was made without, the light of man, and he chose to come to earth as a fragile, vulnerable human being, as a small little baby. Can you imagine it all? I can't figure out why God would do that. I thought he just would have rode down here on a horse the first time, like he's going to do the second time. But I don't know why he came like that. What possible motive could he have had to come and endure such ridicule and persecution and ostracizing and everything else that Jesus went through? All the days of this life on this earth, everything he faced from mankind, spitting in his face and eventually putting him on a cross. I can't imagine why God would do all that for you and I to go through that pain. But then all of a sudden you look to the Word of God and you realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus would never perish but have everlasting life. That's the amazing love of God. That's amazing Christmas. That's why Jesus came into the world. It was the love of God that brought that baby to earth 2,000 years ago. It was his desire to have his creation dwell with him, be in fellowship with him, walk in the light like he is in the light. He wanted to have us as his own again. He was tired of Satan lying at to us and to us all the days of our life. He wanted to get us back. So he sent the best gift that you and I could ever have, his Son, Jesus Christ. We cannot, nor will we ever be able to understand the depth of God's love for us, because it was so incomprehensible to our puny little minds that we will never, ever be able to understand God's love. Anyone, much less our Creator, could love us that much, especially when mankind treats him the way they do. It's such a blessing to watch children at Christmas time. Somebody said we were at the seniors' home the other day, and at Glen Storton Lodge, and one of the seniors had said, you know, Christmas is for kids. I thought about it for a moment. Yeah, I can remember as a kid, you really enjoy it. The expectation and all things. I know I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I mean, it was so amazing. Betty and I were talking about some of our things that we went through, and I said, you know, we would go to bed early on Christmas Eve, and Mom and Dad would be there, and they say, oh, don't forget to put out a glass of milk and a couple of cookies, because you know who will be here tonight. Yeah. And to wake up in the morning and see some crumbs on that plate and the milk all gone. Wow. All those things that we did during Christmas and the memories that we have. You know, it's such a blessing to watch children, though, go through all those things. It was such a blessing, you know, when we raised our kids, and I was a Christian when we raised our kids, and my brother Les, who's now saved, praise God. I can remember when we came home with our first child, Jeremy, and Uncle Les looked down at Jeremy, and he was about 4 years old, because we were Christian, you'll get this. And he said, Jeremy, what did Santa bring you for Christmas? And our Jeremy said, Uncle Les, there is no Santa. Ooh. Fire in the house. After my son said that, Uncle Les, there is no Santa. You know where my brother's eyes went? He looked at me and says, what are you doing to your kids? What are you doing? We were all raised with that Santa and Frosty the Snowman and all that stuff, you know, all those good memories we had. And I looked at Les, who's now saved. I said, Les, I've got different things. That those are good memories, yes. I've got different things. Jeremy's learning about Noah and the Ark, about David and five smooth stones and Goliath. And he's learning all the stories of the Bible, and he's learning about Jesus. Jesus. My brother, no wonder he's always fought me. But I brought Jesus into the situation. And I told Jeremy later on, I said, you know, Uncle Les doesn't know Jesus. He says, yeah, I don't think he does either. And I said, you know, but that's why we love him. We want to love him. We want to bring Jesus to him. So when our family travels here to be at home, even though a lot of our family doesn't know Jesus yet, guess what, Jeremy? We are planted like lights here. And because you're a child, everybody looks at you as a child and thinks that Christmas is about kids and all that, yes. But you are a witness for Jesus as a little child if you know the right ways of Christmas. Hallelujah. So I think about kids and opening their gifts, and it's a beautiful time for kids. But do you think any child would leave a gift unopened? I mean, just take it home and leave it in its box, still wrapped up in early. I mean, but today, Christmas is all about Jesus. And there's all kinds of people that fail to unwrap. Oh, I don't believe. No. Just leave the box there. Leave the gift over there. Don't want it. That's sad. Because Jesus said you have to become like a little child. You got to want it. Want to open the gift. Want to get to the gift. Amen. Would the worship team come today? Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for Jesus. Think about it if you want. What if Jesus had never been born? But thank God Jesus was born. He was prophesied about. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the God who's made a difference in our world. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas time. Amen. For you and I as Christians. If you've never opened your heart to God's word, if you've never opened your heart to God's love, then today is your day. Today is your day. Open up your heart, your life, to realize that Jesus Christ loves you so much. That's why he came into this world for you and I. Father, we thank you so much. You are such a blessing to us. God, we thank you for Christmas. Thank you for this beautiful time of year when we celebrate, we commemorate, we love to be in this time of year because we, as Christians, know it's all about you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Imagine what it would be like without you, Lord, in our lives and in our world. But God, I thank you, Lord, that we've got you. Thank you, Lord, that you did come. Thank you, Lord, that you touched our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we are saved here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing these songs. Thank you, Lord, that we have these times together with family. Help us, Lord God, because still in our families, there's people in our families who do not know you, just like many of my family, but one day didn't know you. And I'm praying for my other brother, Ken. And I'm sure the people here this morning are praying that at all their family gatherings, something will happen. Something great this year will happen around Christmas time. And people in our families will start to see the gift. They will start to see the reason why God sent his son into this world, that they will open up their lives to the true meaning of Christmas. And we thank you, God, for life in you. Thank God it's Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Have you got something good?
Yep.
I know you got something good. Hallelujah.
In a lonely town upon the stage, to the world was born a king.
Praise God. Stores, you are not going to look like everybody else.
Amen.
Because you've got Christmas.
Amen.
You know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When you go into a store, you don't look like you're looking for that one last item that could be bought by you, and you, if you don't get it, you're going to beat up the whole world. You go in there because you love God, and it doesn't matter what happens in the circumstances around us. Amen? Because we've got the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Father, go with us. May we make a difference in our communities, Lord God, because of you, Jesus being born. This is classic, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, Lord God, where people would see you. People will come to you. Churches will be filled all across our city and all across our land. Doesn't matter what our prime minister is doing. People come to Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord God, because that's all we're looking towards is you, Jesus. And we thank you. Bless us as we go from church today, Lord. Help us to keep singing and rejoicing because of Christmas and Jesus being born. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shouted,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.